how do I round robin tab? So they wanted to have the round robin functionality where you kind of like either sequentially in order or in some sort of waiting sequence. They wanted to do tags. It doesn't matter whether you're doing tags or custom fields or whatever it is. How do I sort of have like random actions? Welcome to High Level Hot Takes. My name is Matt Cicino. And if you are a high leveler looking for ways to take advantage of this amazing tool and hear about cool case studies of how it's being used, you are in the right place. If you're looking for more tips and tricks and all things high level, check out howtohighlevel.com after the show.
This is a fun one because we haven't done a walkthrough in a while of Matt actually like showing some of the cool functionality. So if you're just listening to this, know that we're going to be talking through some cool stuff.
You should find us on YouTube.
So find it on YouTube and check it out.
If you're listening, this is a watcher. I'll try and talk you through it. But so sometimes I'll do these build with Matt calls. We'll just do it inside of the HL Pro Tools community. But I wanted to do this kind of like a build with Matt High Level Hot Takes edition. Here was the use case and the question that came in. I think somebody posted inside of the community. It was, how do I round robin tag? So they wanted to have the round robin functionality where you kind of like either sequentially in order or in some sort of waiting sequence. They wanted to do tags. It doesn't matter whether you're doing tags or custom fields or whatever it is. How do I sort of have like random actions? I saw one person suggest the math function. And unfortunately, it's not quite there. So they were probably thinking like, hey, I could do the math function, pick, you know, whatever, this price. And if you had the option of like random, which is what you're thinking of like in Excel, you could do like, do a random number generator between this number and that number. And then that's how it's happening. Sort of random, still not perfectly round robin, but that's what they were kind of thinking is random there. I'm sure you could get fancy and keep on like adding one. And then if it's 10, then go back to zero kind of a thing. So maybe there's some space there. I actually think it's actually just a sign. So using two workflows and leveraging assign to user with call it like placeholder users to function, like to accomplish round robin. So the first step here would be an assign to user, and you're going to pick out, I'm going to have to pick out two folks, and now I can choose equally unevenly. If I have unevenly, I can weight it. So it's going to round robin. If I'm doing evenly, it's literally just going to like, you know, equally assign through the user. Here was my advice. We got two workflows. The first one, this is what you're doing. You have assigned a user. It's happening for as many as you need. If you had 10, put in your 10. And that's what's happening there. Then what I would do is, you don't even have to put this entirely, but I put a 1 minute wait in case high levels, you know, need some time to process. And then what I would do is remove assigned user. Because I'm doing this with placeholder users, right? Some email literature, things that are going on there are actually related to the user values. And so if you have a user just called like placeholder one, placeholder two, placeholder three, you don't want someone to accidentally receive an email from placeholder one. So this is one of the workflows. It would just be, it's round robining the assigned user to these placeholder users. It assigns it to the user, running whatever user assignment we want or like whatever sort of like distribution you want. And this is the cool thing is you can wait it unwait it. Then I would put a 1 minute wait just to give it process on the other workflow. I'll show you what's going through on that side. And then I would remove the assigned user, or I would reassign to like a real user. If you've got like real user data, which you probably do. So who the key account owner is. So this is one of those workflows. Now you're like, what's the trigger, Matt? Whatever you're using, like whenever they're registering, you can manually put people in here. You can do whatever you want to get it to run through, and it's going to assign the user. That's one side of it. So take a picture. This is one half of it. Assigned to user, wait 1 minute, and then remove assigned user. Then I'm going to delete all of them, show you fresh. Then I'd have my second workflow here, which is going to have a trigger based on, my trigger is going to be based on, it's either contact updated to the user assignment, or it's just the user assignment here. Let's see if we can do it. So we're going to do contact change, and the change that's happening is the assigned user. And we're going to say it has changed, not in general, it has changed to a specific user, right? So one of those, I had it assigning to Adam. I'm going to call it, you know, it's like assigned to Adam. Recall again, you have placeholder users. So this is only happening because we're using it in the placeholder here. But so it's like, it's assigned to that placeholder. And then I'm going to have another trigger. So similarly for contact changed, what's the change that's happening? The assigned user has changed to, and I forget if we did Waleed, but I'd be like assigned to, and this is, you know, placeholder two.
Yep.
there's my 2 or 10 or 20 triggers that are coming in. And then the first thing I'm going to do is an if else, and I'm going to have a branch per those placeholders. So it's, you know, it's like, this is assigned one, and I'm going to do the workflow trigger, keeps it as simple as possible, is, and then it's my, okay. It's not showing this right now because you have to save a workflow.
You would have to save the other one, right?
You have to save the workflow to see triggers in the if else function, or for some of the placeholder information there. So here's our, let's go assigned one, and it's just going to be workflow trigger is, and then that first one, right? Whichever it is. And then the nice thing is I can keep on duplicating these branches and then changing out the variables.
So that was such a small thing that you did because you just get it. But so if someone gets hung up here, build all of those top triggers, hit save, go to the next one, and then you'll be able to do the workflow trigger and see all of the options.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. So you put in the triggers, you click the blue save button, then you can see the options in the if else. We actually could, they have a none option in if else. You can clean it up and just use that as your fallback branch. So you don't even have to have your fallback branch. But then under here, we're going to then do tag. If I was doing tags, I would add my tag and I would select fake news. I would select my tag. And that's how I would do this now. So I'm using.
I'm just laughing because that's a tag I actually created.
There you go. So on.
So yeah, you'd have the. That's your round robining of your tags there.
Yep. You're round robining based on placeholder users. And then you're using one other workflow that has all of these triggers based on the users, these proxy users that are then doing these actions, either adding the tag or updating a custom field. So anything like that. I actually recommend using a custom field as opposed to tags. You can still export the data there. The difference is tags come through comma, like comma separated. They could have multiple tags versus for like a custom field, you can have that where it's a single option select. So you say it's basically, you know, you go like a what's considered a radio option. It can only have one and you've got your 1 through 10. And so then the action here is not going to be add tag. It's going to be update contact field. You're going to choose your specific field that you want to update it to. And you're picking one that, you know, has.
So you could have a custom field that has what those tags, what those descriptors would be. No, that would never show up anywhere for the user. That's just a back, but you'd use it as a back end. Then when you're exporting the customer list, that now custom field is a single column.
Yep. Data. Just like, and so instead of where tags would be like, they could have 20 tags associated with the contact. It would just be like, you know, proxy or whatever it is, or assigned to, and it's just going to have one of those 2 or 10 options inside of it.
Yeah, very cool. Hopefully that helped a few people. You know, there's so many things that you can do. Some of these things, there's recipes or they're pretty simple, and others take really understanding the complexities and the capabilities of what High Level does out of the box.
If you're new learning, you're like, man, this was awesome. How do I get more of this? One, inside of HLProtos, we do that. Two, if you haven't been on it, I do host a call. It's hlprotos.com/free-snapshot. I give you a free snapshot and I'm like live there doing the call. So if you want to ask me some particular questions, it's inside of High Level. It's intended to help you, you know, get your baby steps going so you can start making money from it. But happy to be available on Zoom anytime.